Chapter 12. It took only seconds for the inspector to clip the tickets of the passengers in her carriage. As he left, he slid the door across, but it didn't quite click home. Lizzie, who was sitting closest to it, edged it back an inch or two with her foot, feeling a bag of nerves. She must do her best for Joey, but what exactly? She checked there was enough space to push her nearest hand through the door, transferred the ticket to that hand, checked that the other occupants of the carriage were not watching. The woman was looking out of the window at the flying scenery, the man reading. Lizzie crossed her knees so they would not be able to see her hand. She didn't dare take her eyes from the corridor now as she watched for Joey. Further down the train, she heard the inspector calling, "Tickets, please!" and the sliding of doors as he closed them behind him. Joey appeared silently as if from nowhere. She pushed the ticket at him, and it was instantly snatched from her fingers. She craned forward to see what he did. He was opening a window further up the corridor, leaning out. Then her stomach turned over as she saw the ticket inspector returning.
"Ticket, please, sir," he said to Joey.
His tone was no longer polite. She knew he was suspicious. Joey must have passed him somehow.
"You've already punched it."
Joey's voice sounded unbelievably calm. She watched him fish the ticket out of his pocket, taking his time before handing it over. She was quaking, hardly daring to look.
"Right, thank you."
The inspector was giving it him back, returning down the corridor. The blood was pounding in Lizzie's head, and she was sweating with relief. Joey had got away with it. It was another 10 minutes before he came back to sit opposite, and his face was still pale. They were coming into Birkenhead now. Terraces of smoke-blackened houses backed on to the line. Lizzie could see into the countless backyards. It seemed dirtier and shabbier than Pennaclip had ever done. The lines proliferated and snaked in all directions. The train was slowing. They slid into a station with many platforms. She could see the other trains waiting. She glimpsed a sign that read, "Birkenhead, Woodside." The air smelled different, smoke-laden and flat. A loudspeaker bled out some message she couldn't grasp. Lizzie had Joey's arm in a vice-like grip. She clutched the parcel under her other arm, dangling the cake tin by its string.
"Come on," he urged, quickening his step. "Keep up with the crowd. We've got to get through the gate in the thickest part of the crush."
Lizzie went cold when she realized their tickets would be checked again. Joey was holding them so it was just possible to see there were two, the valid one hiding the invalid. His knuckles showed white.
"Keep going, whatever happens," he whispered in her ear. "Don't turn round."
The crowd jostled them, and they were borne through the gate as though on a tide. The tickets were snatched from Joey's grasp and not given another glance. His pace speeded up. Lizzie's heart was in her mouth, but she ran with him until they came out of the station into a busy terminus.
"We managed it," Joey crowed. "Managed it very well."
The summer twilight was just deepening into night. Lizzie stared about her.
"Are those what they call trams?"
"Must be. Even the buses look strange."
"Where to now?" she asked.
Joey leaned against the station wall to get his breath back. Lizzie had never seen anything like the busy bus terminus in front of her. There were double-decker buses coming and going, people streaming through the entrance to the ferries, and others passing them to go into the railway station.
"Don't know. Couldn't think beyond getting here."
They began to walk. It was uphill, and Lizzie had never seen traffic like this. She hardly dared cross the road. A big hotel overlooked the terminus. The sign, "Woodside Hotel," was lit up. The lighted windows looked inviting.
"Where are we going to sleep?"
Now she was calming down, that seemed the most pressing problem.
"Not in there. We can't afford it. We'll find a room or something."
"It's almost 10 now."
Lizzie bit her lip. "And we've no idea where to start looking."
"I'll buy a newspaper. That'll tell us."
Lizzie had heard the news vendor's raucous call, but had not understood the words until now.
"Liverpool, Echo, Echo, Echo!
From the bar, a roar of ribald laughter rose above the babble of voices, and a waft of hot air from the dining room carried the savory scent of roasting beef.
It's almost too dark to see small print.
Joey refolded the paper, and I'm hungry.
We can't eat here, either.
For her own part, Lizzie felt irritable and exhausted.
We've still got plenty of cake.
They walked on up the hill, past shops that were now closed, until they came to a square of elegant buildings. A clock in a tower struck 10. There was a garden in the middle.
Could we sleep in there?
Lizzie looked at the grass. It's a dry night.
No. Joey pulled her along after one short glance. Too many people about. Too small and too many flower beds. Be all right if we could find a wood.
We'll never find a wood here. We're heading into town. There's more shops. I think we should get away from here. It's too busy.
They stood undecided on the pavement.
There's a bus coming, Lizzie said. It says Rock Ferry on the front. That's where Nick's living now. Mrs. Bender said it was on the outskirts of town.
When it stopped almost in front of them to pick up passengers, Joey took her arm and hoisted his suitcase.
Good idea, he said.
Lizzie followed him up the narrow stairs to the top deck. The bus jerked forward. Joey paid their fares and asked the conductor to put them off in Rock Ferry. There were lights twinkling everywhere. Shops and houses lined the busy road, which stretched ahead for what seemed miles. Lizzie felt mesmerized. They only realized they'd gone too far when the bus turned into a bus shed and everybody stood up to get off.
Where are we?
Lizzie asked.
New Ferry. You can stay on the bus. It'll be going back in 10 minutes.
But Joey pulled at her arm. He'd seen a small cafe displaying boards with chalked prices they could afford.
This is as good as anywhere, he said, pausing to consider the menus they offered.
Lizzie waited restlessly. She wanted more than anything else to put her head down and sleep. She ached with exhaustion. The emotional effort of leaving home had left her drained. New Ferry seemed a busy place, too, though most of the shops were closed now, even though it was Saturday night. Lights spilled out onto the pavements, but there were fewer people about. Lizzie's arm ached with carrying her bundles, and she thought with longing of the bed she'd shared with Flora. For the first time, she wanted to be back in the gatehouse.
Perhaps there's a park, if there were shrubs to hide us.
Let's ask.
Lizzie yawned and stopped an elderly man coming out of a pub to do so.
Yes, he told her, looking at her strangely. Just along there.
He pointed the way they must go.
I can see a fish and chip shop, Joey said. We'll get some to eat as we walk along. You'll feel better with something hot inside you.
Lizzie agreed, her mouth filled with saliva as she waited at the counter. She pulled at Joey's sleeve.
Let's ask if they know where we can find a room.
But he shook his head.
Not here.
The chips were delicious, and she did feel better with food inside her. The park was only a short walk, but when they came to it, they found it had iron railings round and gates as big as those at Yarrow. They were firmly locked.
We'll get in somewhere, Joey said enthusiastically. This will be fine.
There was a handsome black-and-white building at the gates, but it was all in darkness. They kept on walking, but here houses had been built between the pavement and the park. They came to a side street. It seemed to mark the end of the park in that direction. They turned into it.
We've been walking for ages.
Lizzie hadn't meant to complain, but she felt ready to lie down on the pavement. The moon had come up, and they could see a little more. There were fewer lights on in the houses, and those were mostly in the upper windows now.
Everybody's going to bed,
Lizzie said as they trudged on.
Here's an empty house, Joey said suddenly. No curtains, look.
It'll be locked.
Lizzie let her bundle slide to the pavement to rest her arms.
What are we going to do, Joey?
It has a big garden.
Lizzie looked up and down the road. It was deserted. Joey had the front gate open.
Let's see if we can get round the back. Walk on the grass so as not to make a noise. No point in letting the neighbours know we're here.
The front door, when he tried it, wouldn't budge. The two massive Victorian bay windows on each side were too high to reach. The front garden was shut off from the back by a door set into a wall. That, too, was locked.
Joey set his suitcase against the door. I want a leg up. Might just be able to get a toehold on the thumb latch and nip over the top. You stand there, and I'll step on your shoulder. After one painful jerk, Joey was up and slithering down on the other side of the wall. A second later she heard the bolts being drawn, and she was through.
Joey was trying the back of the house. Might have to break a window to get in. We'll be all right here.
Lizzie felt a little safer with the door securely bolted again.
She told herself they couldn't be disturbed. As long as it doesn't rain.
Then she saw the moonlight shining on the grass.
There's a greenhouse here.
She tried the door, and it opened to her touch, with just the slightest scrape on the uneven floor. Inside, the air was warm and musty.
This is it, she crowed. Won't matter if it does rain now.
Joey pushed in behind her. She could just see him feeling his way round.
Beds of soil, built up. Just like real beds, and as dry as bone. Nothing's been planted. This house must have been empty for ages.
Everything's died off because it's not been watered.
Let's have that blanket. We can scoop out little hollows for our hip bones. This'll be a great place to camp.
Lizzie had the string undone and the blanket out.
Boots off, Joey said.
I'll find us each an extra pair of socks. Got to be comfortable.
Lizzie could feel herself drifting off almost as soon as her head was down on the makeshift pillow. She tucked her coat under her chin. Somewhere in the distance a dog barked. As Hannah packed her suitcase, she thought of Clarissa. She was looking forward to seeing her again. Silly to have been so grateful for what Clary had done, and still let their friendship die. Almost die. Perhaps, when she saw Elizabeth, she'd be reassured that what she'd done was not so very wrong. Matt had thought it all for the best, if the child had been happy. The journey to Yarrow brought back memories. She'd forgotten how beautiful the Welsh countryside was. In Penaclip, the years had changed only one thing. The road was tarmac-adamed now. Matt had complained how much the rutted earth track had jolted his de Dion all those years ago. She slowed down as she came to the entrance to Yarrow Hall. The gates themselves had been rehung, but stood wide open. The lichen on the lions had been scraped off. The gatehouse seemed smaller. A little girl was standing at the open door, wearing a torn and dirty dress, several sizes too big for her. Hannah stopped the car. It was on the tip of her tongue to call to her and ask for Elizabeth. She stopped herself in the nick of time. It would be more discreet to ask Clarissa. A boy who had been throwing stones up into a tree was running towards her. Both his elbows stuck out through the sleeves of a V-necked pullover, which he wore without a shirt. The difference between these children and Dorothy's girls appalled her. She put the car in gear and moved off. The 10-acre park was dotted with sheep and cattle, just as she remembered it. The dower house was just a roof, seen through the trees as she drove up the drive. Yarrow Hall Farm had been recently painted. It looked trim and more prosperous than it had. Clarissa met her at the door, bubbling a welcome as she kissed her cheek. Clary had hardly changed at all, except for the smile lines round her eyes. Leo's hand clasp was warm enough, though he seemed wary. He looked older and a little stouter. They'd hardly got as far as the sitting-room fire before she had to ask about Elizabeth. "She's very well," Clarissa said, her manner formal. The change made Hannah uneasy.
"We didn't know what to do for the best."
"She doesn't know about Dorothy?"
"No, she thinks Maisie is her aunt."
Hannah pushed her dark hair from her forehead.
"I'm longing to see her, but it isn't going to be easy to explain why I'm interested in her."
"No need to say anything yet.
Clarissa soothed. "She often comes into our kitchen. I've asked Tatty to let us know next time she does. We'll go down and start doing something. She needn't know you have any special interest."
"You think of everything," said Hannah gratefully.
"She was up here this morning, but we probably won't see her again today."
Hannah felt disappointed. "I'll have to be patient a little longer, then."
"I'm afraid so. She said she was going to see Joey O'Malley off. His father's found him a job, a farm some distance from here. She'll miss Joey. They've been inseparable till now."
Both Jonathan and Hal had come home, and for Hannah the evening passed pleasantly. They all wanted to hear about Nick, though he'd been home for a weekend visit since going to Birkenhead. Leo thought he was settling in. Hannah was able to describe his lodgings. Clarissa was reassured because she'd chosen them for him. She told them all she could about his work and about Evans's toffee factory. Next morning she and Clarissa sat in the garden and talked.
"I want Elizabeth to think boarding school is your idea," Hannah said. "Matt won't be happy with anything else. I'll help choose the school. I'll pay for it, but she mustn't connect the Mortimer name with it. I hate to ask more of you, but will you go along with that?"
"I suppose so."
Clarissa's face told her she'd found Lizzie a responsibility, one she didn't feel she'd discharged satisfactorily.
"She won't question it, will she? She knows you, Clary. Nick says you've been kind to her all her life."
Clarissa sighed.
"I'll do it, of course. It's in Lizzie's best interests. I'm afraid Matt and I have left far too much to you.
I'll have a word when she next comes up."
Hannah was anxious to see her plan put into action.
"Does she come every day?"
"It's Sunday. She always comes on Sunday mornings. She likes to help Tatty cook lunch. Tatty gives her food to take home for the other children." But lunch came and went, and nobody had seen Lizzie. It was Leo who brought them the news when he came in for his tea.
"Harry Parry says she's run away, that she went down to the station to see Joey off and never came back. They're all talking about it."
"I'd better go down and talk to Maisie," Clarissa said. "What's she doing about it?"
Hannah was struggling for breath. She felt stiff with awful foreboding. Lizzie was woken by a gentle tap-tap on the glass roof, and looking up could see the yellow feet of birds splaying out as they walked. Beside her, Joey was laughing.
"Funny to see them from underneath. Not a bad night's lodging, was it? Slept like a couple of tops."
Lizzie laughed. The sun was streaming in. She felt better.
"Now it's daylight. I'm not sure I like all this glass. If someone came into the garden, we would be seen."
"Who's likely to come?"
"It's all right for the odd night or two, but not for the long term.
I can see an outside tarp. We could have done a lot worse. This is high-class camping."
"What are we going to do today?"
Joey got out the newspaper and started reading the adverts.
"Find us a room. What about some breakfast first?"
"We've got hard-boiled eggs left and some cake. I'm going to have a wash first under that tap."
"All mod cons here."
He fluttered the pages open. "There's plenty of places advertised. One room would be enough to start with until I get myself a job. Pity I can't look for work today."
"You should," she said. "It's Sunday."
"Why don't we see if we can find Nick Bender? I've got his address. Perhaps he'll help us get jobs in the same toffee factory."
"That's a wonderful idea, Lizzie. Nick said your family owns it. We'd be well placed to get even with them then."
"Never mind about getting even. What we have are jobs. I just want to be sure we can eat and have somewhere to live."
"Oh, come on, Lizzie. We'll be all right. But it's a smashing idea. Where does he live?"
She'd put Nick's address in her coat pocket.
"He lives in Rock Ferry. We can get a bus. My legs are still stiff with all that walking last night."
"Nonsense. It did us good to stretch our legs after sitting down in that train all afternoon."
Joey looked through the newspaper, putting pencil ticks opposite the cheapest rooms.
Lizzie tidied up, shaking the blanket free of soil. "Are we going to leave our things here?"
"I don't know," Joey hesitated. "Be terrible if someone came and saw them. We might get them pinched."
From inside the glasshouse, the garden seemed a tangle of green overgrowth. The grass was thigh-high, and there were plenty of unpruned trees and shrubs with thick foliage. Lizzie said, "We could hide our stuff somewhere out there. There's a real tangle of bushes. Nobody would notice a case under them. We could even bury it if you like. I don't want to lug it round."
"If we can't get a room, we'll come back here tonight. It's not too bad. Better than out in the park."
It took a long time to get ready. They dug a hole under some flowering shrubs, using old slates they found, and covered their belongings with soil. When Lizzie showed Nick's address to a man selling newspapers, they discovered they were not very far from Rock Ferry, but it took some time to find the right road. Nick's lodging was in a substantial Victorian semi, set in a well-kept garden. The front door was as large and solid as that of a church, and glistened with new black paint. They were let in and directed up to the fourth floor.
"Something like this would suit us fine," Lizzie whispered as they climbed the stairs.
The banister was polished mahogany. The carpet gave way to linoleum after the second floor.
"This would cost too much for us,"
Nick answered their knock.
"Hello, Nick."
Lizzie found it comforting to see his familiar brown eyes after so many strange faces. His mouth was open with surprise.
"I can't believe! What are you two doing here?"
"We've run away," Lizzie said.
"What on earth for?"
Alarm rang in his voice.
"I'm not working on any farm," Joey sounded sullen. "But Lizzie, what made you come?"
"Maisie was getting ready to send me to Crewe."
"No."
Nick seemed quite put out.
"I told you, Joey. I told you to tell her. That weekend I went home. You were milking at the time. My mother's sending for prospectuses of boarding schools. She's choosing one for you, Lizzie. Everything was coming right."
"A boarding school?"
"Yes, like the one Lucy goes to."
"She didn't say anything to me about it,"
Lizzie frowned.
"And I was talking to her the morning we left."
"For some reason she didn't want you to know yet. She was very insistent that I say nothing to you, so I didn't. I told Joey. I knew you were worried about Crewe."
Lizzie shivered. Doubts were crowding in on her.
"Joey, why didn't you say?"
"Schools like that cost money." He was belligerent. "Why would she do it? I don't believe it." "It's the gospel truth,"
Nick said furiously.
"None of us wanted to see you packed off as a scullery maid. We wanted to help you."
She could see Nick was upset. His eyes shone with honesty, and Joey wouldn't look at her.
"It would have been far better, Lizzie, if you'd stayed where you were until she'd organized it."
"We're staying together," Joey snapped. "That's what we agreed, didn't we?"
"Honestly, what a silly thing to do,"
Nick blazed at him.
"I wanted us to be together. And Lizzie wanted to come. She said she did."
"Yes, but if I'd known—"
Lizzie put her hands to her face in an agony of doubt.
"Why didn't you tell me, Joey?"
"Joey, you must have known how much better it would be for Lizzie. How selfish can you get? You must go back, Lizzie." "No, you're spoiling everything. I want her here with me. She'll be perfectly all right."
"Oh, Joey, you should have told me. I had a right to know."
"Don't you start on me, too. Everything was going well. I wish we'd never come near, Nick."
Joey was angry and sullen. The frosty silence dragged on. Then Nick seemed to give up and changed the subject.
"Where are you staying?"
"Well, we haven't got anywhere yet," Lizzie said.
"You didn't sleep out."
"Yes, but that was all right, too, wasn't it, Lizzie?"
"I'll help you get somewhere."
Nick was tight-lipped with disapproval.
"What I really want help with is getting a job. I could find us somewhere to live if I had money to pay for it." "You've no money."
Lizzie could see incredulity on Nick's face now. He seemed suddenly grown up. She was afraid he was going to grapple with Joey.
"Yes, we have."
Joey was only just in control of his temper.
"We're all right for money. It's jobs me and Lizzie need.
Couldn't we come and work where you do? I don't know about that. Nick rubbed his chin thoughtfully. Though they are looking for a new office boy. That would suit me down to the ground. Joey's desperation made him eager. What would I have to do? See to the post, make the tea, run errands and help generally. I could do that easily. Yes, but it's not up to me. I don't decide who gets the job. Who does? Could you put in a good word for me? The job was advertised in the newspapers a week or so back. We had a lot of applicants. School leavers, that's what we were asking for. That's me, said Joey earnestly. I know I could do it. Please help him, Nick, Lizzie said. He sighed heavily. I did get the job of picking out the best three or four and sending for them. Mr. Gleason's going to interview them tomorrow morning. Couldn't I come along, too? Come on, fix it up for me for old time's sake. You're asking a lot. Nick's face was tense. For Lizzie's sake, please. I don't know. Go on, Joey urged. What do I have to do? You'll have to write a letter of application. Now, straight away. Tell me what to say, and I'll do it. Nick got out his writing pad. Your letter will have to make you seem better than the others. What about your address? We're in the back garden of a house in Stanley Road. What number is it, Lizzie? Nick shook his head in disbelief. Who's to know we're camping in the garden? If a letter was posted there, would you get it? Not if the postman puts it through the front door, Lizzie said. She couldn't stop thinking about being sent to boarding school. She couldn't believe Joey wouldn't always do the best for her. Wasn't sure whether she could believe any of the story. You'd better put this address on it. Nick pursed his mouth with reluctance. There are four more lodgers here. Good idea. Then you'll get any reply and be able to give it to me. I hope Mr. Gleason doesn't remember that I live here too and ask me about you. Joey had his pen poised. What shall I say? Let me think. Nick pondered a long time, but the sentences came. Aged 14. Just left school. Lizzie listened, knowing he was putting plenty of guilt on what Joey had achieved there. Start again, Nick ordered when he read it through. A neater copy, in your best handwriting. This is just like school, Joey grumbled. It's worse, Nick told him. They set even greater store on neat handwriting. I'll take it in tomorrow morning and put it under the letters I've picked out. Yours will be the fifth, and he said three or four, but your letter's as good as any. Make sure you look smart, wear a tie. Have you got a suit? Your mother gave me one of yours. Sure you know a bit about the firm, what we make, that sort of thing.
You'll have to tell us, Lizzie said. Nick reeled off a list.
How much will they pay me? Less than £1 a week. That's not much. I'm surprised they go to all this trouble. If you look alert and jump to it, they might give you another half-crown after 6 months. You might eventually be made a clerk. It'll do. Anything will do. At least it'll be regular. You've still got to convince Mr. Gleason.
I can manage that. My mam says I don't need to kiss the Blarney Stone.
Ah, you wait till you come face to face with him. Things may not go your way.
Lizzie stirred herself. Bet it does. Joey always gets what he wants.